The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Group Chat. As you guys see, I have my goat mask on. That means everything is right in the wrestling world. But not just in the wrestling world. In hockey world, too.
Who needs a beer?
Charles, what is going on?
I need that intro every time.
Me too. Can we just have Conehead as a part
yes,
of our intro?
Yes, we need Conehead every time.
Oh, don't worry. You're going to get more from Conehead. It's going to be amazing. He's a Buffalo sports legend. So he's going to be part of our block today because it is Sabres playoff season. Woo! Did we ever think we would be here?
I did not. I was waiting since like fifth grade. I think that was the last Sabres.
Not for me.
But that's what we're going to dive into. All of that in the fandom today. We've got great guests coming up. Conehead himself, who I think might sell the most jerseys in the market. Jay Moran, you know him from Morning Edition on BTPM NPR, but also as the in-house voice of the Sabres announcing all
Love
of the
Jay.
Players. Jay's amazing. I can't believe he agreed to come on the show.
Me either. I was like, Jay.
Jay. All right. And Addison Logan, who is behind the scenes for a lot of the Sabres productions. She's also going to clue us in a little bit on social media and the whole picture of the Buffalo Sabres. So we're going to get into all that. We are going to do the state of the scroll, as you know we do every group chat. Charles, what is happening in the pop culture world?
A lot. A lot is. But as I always do in the beginning of every show, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel. I want to say this is maybe local because he's up north. He's in Toronto. Drake's officially started.
They know how I feel about Drake.
Drake officially has started his rollout for his upcoming album, Iceman, which is the highly anticipated album from him. He began his rollout this week by having a wall of ice in the middle of Toronto. And inside this wall of ice was the information of when the album was dropping. So basically told everybody to go out, his fans to go out there and pick at the ice. People were with ice picks. I don't want to say blowtorches. Some people are actually licking the ice too.
That's gross.
Yeah, yeah. But eventually, somehow, some way, a streamer got the information. They got the bag, got in contact with Aiden Ross, who then told him to proceed to Drake's home and opened the bag, and once he opened the bag, it had the date in there, and he got $50,000. Drake gave him $50,000, and basically, Iceman is coming out May 15th.
But it's springtime.
Listen, I'm tired of him.
Me too. I'm
wrong tired season. Of him.
How's he trying to get people with axes and stuff?
Because he's back in Canada. Because remember, we were up in Atlanta for a while. We were not.
He was in Houston.
And in Houston. So now we're back to being Canadian. It's fine.
Yeah. So, yes, highly anticipated coming out May 15th. A lot of people are speculating. Obviously, he will be having some disses directed at so many people. But Kendrick is the one person that everybody thinks he's going to diss.
We still didn't learn the lesson yet.
Well, I hope
Kendrick
he doesn't.
Was just seen coming out of a studio allegedly in LA.
Oh, gosh. Well, ice.
I just had this conversation with Dallas. I would love the very second he says his name, Kendrick just drops a diss track.
I hope so too. And then we just forget that he had a new album and that the whole thing is about ice.
And there's water everywhere now or whatever.
So apparently Iceman is coming out finally May 15th. on a brighter note and what I would deem to be more of an exciting note, Chappelle's Show might be coming back.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes. While honoring Eddie Murphy at the AFI Awards, he hinted about the Chappelle Show, but with one exception. Eddie Murphy has to be a part of it.
And that's in that, and then it's like it sold itself.
No, legend. Yeah.
It was always going to, because everyone misses the Chappelle Show. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Murphy, like, no one else could do Charlie.
That's saying it, is because he has to continue the legacy that his brother Charlie Murphy had, where he was true Hollywood Stories with Charlie Murphy. Infamous Prince
Classic
story.
Classic, the Prince story is amazing.
Rick James. Buffalo's own Rick James. And speaking of Chappelle, we have to talk about what he's been doing so far and within our world, within NPR. He saved his local NPR station and gave them $15 million of his own money to save it. And basically, that station is his home, his hub for his studio that he has there as well.
It's incredible. I mean, what he's doing for public media is awesome, because he could easily put that money anywhere. And to do it where he's done it in Ohio, in Yellow Springs, which is, what, 3,800 people. Yeah. And he talked about, like, how public radio has always allowed them to thrive, mm-hmm. In the area, and how everyone, like, that is just so much a part of the culture that he couldn't have let it die down, especially during COVID, because everyone financially was having such a hard mm-hmm. time. So I think it's one of those things that I know some celebrities like to keep their things quiet that they do, but I'm so happy that he's even, like, on the platform of NPR even doing these interviews, because he can go to huge major networks.
Well, and I think him making that statement, because I could see him just doing it on the DL, mm-hmm. but I think it's also a big freedom of speech statement.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
We need to invest in these outlets that are programming and not allowing for, like, corporate mergers and programming to dictate what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. So that's a big flex, and I love it.
Yep, and donate to us here.
Here.
We'll put a link in the bio.
Chappelle did a PBS NewsHour interview, too. Like,
He's in it, and I'm actually excited for his production company out of Yellow Springs too, because it'll keep it thriving in that community.
And Dave, if you want to come here at any point,
you're more than welcome. You can come on.
Yes,
hang with us on group chat.
Next time you're in the Buffalo, Toronto, Western New York region, anywhere close by, we'll welcome you.
Charles will wear his goat mask.
I will. I am manifesting an interview with Dave Chappelle.
It's gonna happen. Next tour he has, we're gonna get him.
I'm not gonna be able to talk the whole time though, so you guys are gonna have to take it over. I'm just gonna probably be frozen.
I mean, listen, I might be frozen too, because I mean, the man is arguably to me, the greatest comedian.
I agree. Richard Pryor's right up there too, but they're different. It's hard. It's hard to compare because they're so different.
Yeah,
they're so different, and different eras too.
And that's the thing. That's where it gets tricky, because, like, you know, a lot of people will say, like, Eddie and things like that. But I just think the way Chappelle story tells.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
It's phenomenal.
And I think it goes past just entertainment, because it's so deep and thought provoking of what's happening in the world around us.
It makes you think.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing that I think a lot of comedians tend not to want to do. Like, Eddie Griffin reminds me of that too. Mm-hmm. Like, Eddie Griffin will always, in his comedic spiel, he'll always educate you too.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes you go, like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know, like, these things. So thanks for telling me about this. So.
And when's, like, the last time you cried laughing? Like, that, I mean, if you think about it, he's just...
He's hilarious.
Funny. Like, I mean, yes, the reels you send me and stuff, but I remember that effect, like, the first time I saw him, like, I couldn't breathe. Yeah,
especially the Chappelle Show, yeah. Like, it's those characters, I mean, Donnell Rollins, is Ashley Larry, I mean, come on, those characters are classics.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's to answer your question, Bentley, the last time I, like, laughed hard, like, crying, I mean, but that's, like, me, it's, like, Kevin Hart. But that's because I can relate to the stuff that Kevin Hart is doing. Like, most of his comedy stuff now I can relate to, because it's like I'm at that state mm-hmm. where I think like how he thinks. So that's why I'm always laughing at his stuff. Other people have been like, nah, they don't rock with it. But that's dumb.
I think we need to plan a comedy episode.
Yeah, we should do a comedy episode. Put a pin in that. Dave Chappelle, and you're more than welcome.
You can host it.
So, as you guys seen earlier, I have my goat mask. All is right in the wrestling world. WrestleMania weekend was this past weekend, and Roman Reigns did exactly what I thought he was going to do. Dog walked CM Punk and won the world title.
I just knew it because Charles told us that, not because I remembered anything from the
same week. We got, you know, blown up in the group chat. Yeah. I mean, I was like,
yay!
Yeah, yes. I was like, yay!
What's his name? How do you pronounce his name again?
We not about to do this. We not about to do this. Bentley, you're the one that sent the video.
She did.
And I could be a new fan.
I knew instantly when I seen just the thumbnail of the reel, I knew why you decided to go this route.
I respect his athleticism.
Bentley is a fan.
I respect how he takes care of himself.
We agreed on that one. I couldn't tell you what happened during the actual match, but he looked good.
Yeah, and the entrance was...
The entrance was great.
Great.
See,
yeah.
At least Nyla's like, he looks... like, Nyla acknowledges, no pun intended, acknowledges the fact that she's like, he looks good. I knew you, Bentley. You were thinking that.
Yeah, I appreciate how he takes care of himself.
She was talking about his wellness plan, diet and exercise.
Yeah.
I just think it's the...
I never looked at wrestlers as athletes before. Athletic. This is not going to go well if I keep...
I mean, it's fine. It is fine because, like, my mom, she... loves his cousin, The Rock. Okay.
Yes, I love The Rock.
He has good genetics. He has good genetics.
And I think The Rock, based on his persona that we see, is a genuinely good guy.
He is. He shares the same birthday as me, so I don't have no malice towards The Rock. I don't. You know, I refer to him as my Brahma Bull twin. So I don't have no malice except for when he doesn't show up when we want him to be there. That's the only time I ever... have my issues with him. I have no problems with...
But him and Kevin Hart are besties.
Yeah, but he could be besties with Kevin Hart.
But he wants him to come back home.
I want him to come
home. Remember where you came from.
Yes.
Next year's WrestleMania is projected to be the battle of the family. It's supposed to be, in theory, the way we wrestling fans want it. Roman Reigns versus The Rock for the head of the table in the Anoa'i family.
You think he shows up?
No.
Okay, me neither.
I don't.
He might be doing Jurassic Park 5. What's the movie?
No, he'll be doing Fast and Furious Infinity. He'll be doing Fast Infinity.
After doing a Disney movie for his daughter.
Yeah. They already have the Moana live action.
Oh, that is true. That is coming out.
Yeah. Which people were a little upset about because they were like, we don't like how you look and all this. But he said that his appearance is giving honor to his grandfather, the High Chief Peter Maivia.
Why you gotta make everything so sappy?
I'm not.
My heart, Roman looks good. So
and I'm like,
head of the table.
Oh, Grandpa. That's sweet.
I mean, it is. It is.
So people are smashing.
See, that's
tables.
But that's why wrestling gets you into that. Now we're invested in the story.
I blame wrestling why everybody smashes tables in Buffalo.
Yes. Yes. Because they got it from the Dudley Boys.
Yes, they did.
So.
All right. Speaking of those crazy fans.
That's on you. That's on you. Listen. That's on you. That's all I'm going to say because I cannot say anything ill towards...
No, it's not ill. It's just passionate.
See, that's true. That's true. I lived in Pittsburgh when it was like the Steelers won and also the hockey team won. It was wild in Pittsburgh. We have not had that experience yet. So, no. You know, that's true. Maybe our fans are like wild
I'm
polite
afraid.
Until we win.
I'm terrified. I've said it all the time. I'm terrified because if the Sabres win the Stanley Cup, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, it's going to, like, the city may.
But we don't have the money to fix it. That's what I need them to go in before we even go into these analogies.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And I think with the Sabres videos that we were seeing with the crowds and everything, there was a lot of people, but people were pretty, like, I don't want to say tame, but
they're tame for Buffalo. Like,
they're tamed right now.
Right. Well, yeah.
But let the clock hit zero and we are champions.
So coming up, we're really getting into the Sabres fandom, and I think that we have the most important guest in.
We do
this representing the Sabres community
from 1972. Older than the people that are actually playing.
Just exclusively on group chat, we will be joined by Conehead coming up. Also, we will have Addison Logan, who is behind the scenes doing a lot of the work for the Sabres broadcast, also knows some things about social media, which I know you've been following. So those two are coming up next on Group Chat.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is Public Media. Visit btpm.org.
Cold beer, cold seltzer, peanuts, popcorn, bottled water. Who needs a beer?
Me.
I can't. I'm pregnant, Conehead. But I got next time after. Give me a couple months.
Welcome, the legendary Conehead. Thank you for that intro. Now I want a beer. But we're going to talk to you about that saber and the actual issues with it. And we're also joined by Addison Logan. Now, you work in production for the Sabres, but you do a lot of different things.
I do a lot of different things.
Yeah, so I can't wait to talk to you about that. You know, Conehead, I know you have been doing this since 1972. So you've been 55 seasons, did you say?
54 seasons. You got to knock out the COVID year. So
yeah.
And the strike year. You had 04, 05, the strike year. So okay. You got to knock out two. So
yeah.
But a long time.
Yeah. So you have almost like a front row seat to the fandom, even though, you know, you're up in the concourse, but you see the fans and you've seen the journey of the Sabres. How can you explain things now?
This year is, who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Vegas on December 9th. This is how the beard started. They were not good on the road. They mm-hmm. were in Edmonton. I put $10 on them, $136. Next morning, cut myself shaving really bad. And I never thought they were going to. Then I decided, well, I'm not going to shave till they lose. Then when they lost in Columbus, I said, well, I'll take 10 in a row. It's got to be two losses in a row. Then they lost two in a row in overtime. That doesn't count. You got points.
Right.
They finally lost two in a row to Edmonton and Washington, but that afternoon they clinched a playoff spot. My wife hates the beard because it really makes me look older. And I said,
"You're
well,
not old, Conehead.
No.
Now it's officially a playoff beard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I haven't had a beard in 40 years.
Oh wow! So you are the good luck charm. See, Buffalo sports fans are so superstitious.
Like, I know Josh Allen is not allowed. They said on social media he cannot come back to any games because they just lost.
My wife pointed out to me that last time I had a beard, 1980, what happened? Miracle on Ice.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was Miracle on Ice just for?
USA beating Russia.
Yes.
Well, yeah. beating Russia, but then going on in the final game to win the gold medal.
Yeah.
The college kids led by Mike Ramsey.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not allowed. I'm not going to another playoff game. I'm not allowed because I went to the
last. You and Josh Allen, Bentley.
Yeah, I know. So I'm not allowed anymore, but it was fun. I'm glad I stayed so that I got to see
the goals.
Yeah.
They love a fourth period goal. Or why did I say fourth period? Third period goal.
Addison, you've been working a lot lately.
I've been working so much. Oh, my God.
Addison's all overtime because we weren't prepared.
I also work in football, too. So we're doing the four quarters and the three periods.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So explain what your day looks like when you are doing these things. What are the different things that you're doing behind the scenes?
Yeah. So I'm a production assistant, but I wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
So the main, my main responsibility is that I technical direct Sabres Live. We have a daily show Monday through Friday with Marty and Duffer.
Yeah.
And we talk all things Sabres. We get player guests, coaching guests, like a bunch of different things. We just had Wyatt Russell on the show. For those of you that don't know, he made a bet with his friends that he would jump into Lake Erie and chug a drink out of a beer saber. And he was like, I think it was like 13 or 14 seconds he would be in Lake Erie if we made the playoffs. And he thought we would never make the playoffs. We were also I think we were last in the league when he said that. Mm-hmm. And now here we're here. And he jumped into Lake Erie and we had him on the show. And it was really, really cool.
We have a clip, right, Charles?
We do have the clip.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Well, Wyatt, you made the claim that if the Buffalo Sabres could end their drought and make the playoffs, you'd chug a Lake Hour and run into the freezing waters of Lake Erie. Well, they did. And you did. So all I gotta say is, let's go, Buffalo! For everybody who doubted the Sabres all year, including me, and we're jumping in Lake Erie to end the drought. Let's go, Buffalo!
Here we go. Go Sabres.
Amazing.
That's commitment right there. Funny thing was, the first game, my husband went, but he had family members that were going. So I was like, you know what? And he took his nephew, which was very symbolic. He's in high school, Abe. And who was sitting right next to them? Wyatt Russell.
Oh,
and they said he was like the nicest guy. So I would have been sitting next to Wyatt, but
come on, Bentley.
Listen.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and they said he was super nice. So now that's why I can't go anymore because they won. So, but you know what? That is, I am a newer Sabres fan. Just I moved here in 2015, and I liked hockey, but I never like really had a team. I like to like go to games, but. And so I am definitely deferring to my husband and his family who have been there through it all, going to all the games. So I'm like, I don't need a playoff ticket. You guys can have
it.
Well, especially now after they lost. So
there are so many watch parties like all around the areas too that are just as fun as going to the games.
Now,
too,
do both of you all judge, like, for instance, me? Okay, at least Bentley's been around since 2015 on the Sabres bandwagon. I was in fifth grade, like, school trip, like, oh, yeah, Sabres. And then just we hadn't won really anything.
Yeah.
So I fell off. So am I, like, a bad fan or am I, like, a corny fan? Like, where do I stand on the fan list since I'm like, oh, we're in the playoffs. Okay, yeah.
I like the fans that have been there through thick and thin.
I think there's never, well, I understand that too, that makes everything so much more special, but I think it's never too late to become a fan.
Yeah.
I don't think bandwagon fans exist. I think you can become a fan yesterday if you wanted to, like, oh, this is really
fun. But we're not
fun.
Like a loyal fan though. Like we're not like, Cohen's talking about like the loyal fans
that's
true. Have been there through the drought. Like this.
But this could be the start of being a loyal fan.
That's right.
You know?
So maybe this is my 2015 like Bentley.
Exactly.
Starting back up from fifth grade.
I don't even know if I started. I was very casual in 2015 because I know people that have gone to like all through seasons where you were getting tickets for $5, right, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
gosh. Trust me, I had the season tickets that I was trying to sell on the internet.
But also, I know when we were chatting, Conehead, before this episode, you did mention a lot of the young fans that are there in the 300s, and maybe they're like the next generation. Maybe their parents were fans, or...
Right. I mean, this is great. I mean, for a lot of these people, it's the first time they've been to a playoff game.
Yeah.
My grandkids are 11 and 8. The twins are 8 years old, and I'm like, I hope you appreciate this. Yeah. I mean, you got wonderful parents. They're taking you to games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking you to playoff games. You are the luckiest kids on the face of the earth right now.
Seriously.
Because you're seeing a playoff game.
Now the fights. Okay, I know this is, maybe this is my non-loyal fan fandom coming out. It was like wild.
It's intense.
That
it's
second really playoff intense. Game was, like, did you see teeth going around? Like, when I lived in Pittsburgh, we had some the hockey team. Some of them lived in our building. And, like, they didn't have teeth in the elevator. Like, we would go in there, and they would, like, say hi. And I was like, oh, that's real. Like, your teeth get knocked out.
That is
in
very
real, like,
common.
They really fight like that.
It's crazy. It really is. And I think when we were watching the fight from game two, my coworker and I were saying we've never seen Alex Tuch look so angry before.
Yeah.
Of just, he was mad, which I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Is that because you think because we made it and we weren't supposed to, so now there's like that extra, like,
I think there's an extra drive.
We need to fight for this.
Yeah. You know, like, they were so misunderstood and just, no one saw it coming, you know? And they have a lot to, that they feel like they have to prove to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have because we're number one in our division, which is incredible. True. You know?
So the fans took it to the streets with the Bruins. Did you see that? The
Dummy. The Cam Neely dummy.
I am not one to, you know, I don't love the fighting, but I felt like I have liked
it. That's the best.
Listen, I know. Well, I do. But I mean, I'm like, okay, can we get to the hockey? Some hockey games, I'm like, all right. But I'm glad that we are sticking up for ourselves because we were getting pushed around. And I'm like, no, I was seeing stuff off. It was probably off camera where there'd be players like down the ice and like a Bruins player just take a guy's helmet off. And like, what is happening here? Like, that's not okay.
It was happening every which way you looked.
Yes.
It was crazy. All of a sudden you think that it's done and then somebody else is fighting over there and you're like, oh my gosh, it was never ending. It was cool. It kind of reminds me of, you know, those old games had like the blue and red boxer where they're kind of like, that's what it reminds me of
Now, when they go into the penalty box, I call it timeout. So when they're like their little timeout for getting in trouble, do they like really cool down or is just like, I just need to.
I see clips sometimes. I'm never really like fully over there, but I see clips online sometimes where they're just kind of making fun of each other back and forth and still like fighting there. But I feel like they're just having fun with it when they're basically in timeout.
Conehead, what's your view of the penalty box?
I think they're pretty serious.
Yeah. No, they take it serious. And the timeout, does the timeout actually work of behavior?
The game I'll always remember from this season was that Sunday night Tampa Bay game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys stood up for each other, and I walked out of that building that night, and I thought, man, this is maybe the most exciting game I've ever worked. And that goes back to Brad May, Derek Plant, Game 7 goals, Stanley Cup Finals back in the 70s, first time in the playoffs. Thank you, Sabres. But I was so proud of that team that night. And I said to myself, they exercised the Miller-Lucic, which was the start of the drought.
Yeah.
These guys are together.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not worried about game two. It's a 7-game series.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody won the Stanley Cup the other night.
Right. 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 Yeah. And that's what we have to remember. I think we are, as Buffalo fans.
I know we were a little out of control.
We're a little stomped on. So we have a way of our, like, everything getting deflated very easily. So we have to be positive. Positive, because again,
they kicked out Josh Allen. Like, if Josh Allen is not allowed, we are very serious.
Also.
Although he was on beat though with the drum, I was.
He was,
about that.
And
sure
he was real excited.
Happen.
I liked that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about some of these celebrities in the seats, though.
Yeah, what's happening with that?
Just sit down. I can't see. You don't need to be doing autographs or people walking up to you. Not Josh Allen. some other people. And I'm like, okay, great. Go over there and do it, or like I need to see the game.
People don't realize like we're not those kind of fans in Buffalo. Like we're not, and maybe that's also part of like New Yorkers too.
Yeah,
it's just like we don't really care who you are if you're not really a part of a sports team. You know, it's like okay, it's like it's cool, but also like I'm here to see the game. Like they're genuinely there to see the game. They're not there to see.
That's true.
Other people for clout, you know, that's not.
And can you take note from maybe, you know, when you watch a Knicks game, I know the Knicks courtside is always like a celebrity thing, but like they sit there and behave. I mean, you know, you have people that don't, you know, Spike Lee runs on the court sometimes courtside. But
well, he's allowed to.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, I'm not going to call out any celebrities, but there have been a couple in my section that I'm like, just sit down.
I got to say, I think it has been really cool, especially during these last two games, to see celebrities there just in general. Obviously not like that side of it.
But Conehead is a celebrity. Yes, that's the only one that's the only person that needs to be standing up is Conehead.
And you're so recognizable. So that's also really cool. But you see it at Bills games all the time. Yeah. I feel like you always see a celebrity of some sort there. And just in the last couple of years, like, there hasn't been as many, you know, at the Sabres game. So it's really cool to kind of see it on a more national level.
Yeah,
you know?
We are getting national attention.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The fans are getting the national attention. Yeah. The most rabid fans. you know, I go to at least two Bills road games a year. And that is so much fun. The Buffalo fans, we drink Nashville dry like 5 years ago. They literally ran out of beer on Broadway because of the Buffalo fans.
And yeah,
I was proud to be part of that.
Yeah. Charles was just saying, like, you know, we might be a little out of control if, like, when I'm going to put it when we win.
Yeah.
Right. Even with, you know, the Bills, we will win at some point, that we might not actually be able to control our fans.
Well, I'll tell you what,
we were wild chaos.
There will not be any destruction in the city of Buffalo. It'll be the biggest public expression of happiness you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it might go on for 2 or 3 days.
That's true.
There's going to be a lot of people missing work.
Well, I said we don't have enough money to fix anything, so everybody better just not drop in a pothole and be fine.
You even saw it the other night at Canal Side. They accidentally knocked down the fence. You know, I mean, hell, they scored. You knocked down the fence. They picked it up.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to interject real 1 second because I do have a question in the comments for Conehead. Someone wants to know, who signed your jersey?
This was a, my birthday is June 2nd, which is right near Father's Day every year. And I'd say this is probably about 15 years old. My daughters bought this for me. And the significance of 72, the number on the back, is it's always the year I started. Any jersey I wear for a team is the year I started. Martin, Robert, Jill Perreault.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Two of those autographs you can no longer get.
Yeah.
And what's so amazing is if you look at the autographs, if Rick Martin's autograph is an absolute work of art.
Yeah.
The time that those guys used to take to sign autographs, this is priceless.
Yeah.
I would never sell this jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually legible for those, like, I know people can't necessarily see it that clearly, but it's very meticulous.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And what great guys those guys were. Oh, man. Those were the days.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure you don't really break that one out often. You don't wear that when you're... Yeah.
No, yeah. Special you're not occasions. Serving beer.
Yeah.
Special occasions.
Too much beer going around.
Yeah. I saw somebody in the crowd the other night was cheering. I think it was when we scored a goal.
Yeah.
And they had their beer saver, and all of their beer shot down to the end of the
100. Oh, yeah, because you're waving it.
Yep.
Conan, so can funny. I get your take on, as a beer professional, a beer serving professional...
on drinking out of the saber.
On the sword?
On the sword, yeah.
You cannot pour beer in there. The wider the bottom of the cup, the easier it is to pour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more narrow it is. I mean, try to pour beer in there. As soon as you get to there, you've got foam.
Foam.
Yeah.
So they actually, when they first started selling these this year, and they did it last year, they were trying to pour draft beer into them.
Yeah.
Then they got smart. Now they give you a 16-ounce can with the sword. Pour it yourself.
Oh,
you figure it out.
Okay. That makes sense. Because then you can kind of keep pouring it, right?
Yeah, then you can just slowly drink it.
So now I got to go back and watch videos and see if people are just, like, drinking foam.
And the other thing with it is the way that that's... If you ever watch somebody try to chug a beer out of it,
yeah,
half of it's going down their shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's very messy.
But then you just buy another beer, though, right? So that works out. Come ahead.
Works out for me.
Just, exactly. Get four of them. Drink out of five Sabres. You don't care.
It is funny when you see people, like, as you know, on, like, social media and stuff commenting, like, finish that beer because half of it goes down. Mm-hmm. You're wasting your beer.
Oh, my gosh. And it's even that on a national level. You see people that have never really... focused on the Sabres, know about the beer Sabres.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They see it all over social media, and it's really cool.
I must get asked 50 times a night, where can I get a beer Saber? Where can I get a beer Saber? Yeah. I said, well, I'm selling the koozies. I got the playoff koozies. How's that for you?
Yeah. I love the koozies for the big cans.
I sold 91 of them the other night.
Oh, wow. My
goodness.
Unbelievable. Wow.
I am now the koozie king.
New title as we go into the new, into 2026, 2027. You have another title now.
There you go.
Get another Koozie jersey.
Koozie Conehead.
Yeah. Another jersey that says Koozie King.
How many beers do you think you sell a night? Do you even know?
During the playoffs, I'm selling probably around 240, 250. During the regular season, around 170, something like that.
Just from your little stand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And my seat sales are fantastic. Yeah. My sales in the seats are really, really good.
Oh, mm-hmm. I've seen the prices. Yes.
God has, like, no comment.
Listen, you weathered through a lot of seasons.
Yeah,
like, for you
72,
deserve that.
You can do whatever you want to do. You need your jersey up.
Yes.
Yeah. When that's our next thing. That's what we're going to do.
That's our campaign.
Addison, put it out there to the people that need to know.
Jersey up. Awesome. So I know, Addison, you don't do a lot with... Well, okay, so you do a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Can we just, like, talk a little bit briefly about the social media? The
Yeah, of course. I'm not exactly on the social media team, but I do help out with a lot of stuff. Especially when it comes to Sabres Live stuff, which does tend to also do really well on social media. I kind of more work with that, but I do work with the social media team, too.
Pretty,
it's been great.
It's pretty impressive.
They're having a lot of fun.
They have, like, over 500,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they're having a lot of fun with it. That's like, the talk around the office, too, is that they just, like, especially with everything with the Burn book. Just, like, they really play into, like, the admin aspect of it, and it's really, really cool.
And you get to work with Duffer and Marty, who have also weathered some seasons.
Oh, yeah. And they're having a lot of fun right now. It's been really cool, and they deserve to be having fun right now. They work so hard, and they're just the most incredible people to work with. I have fun every single day with them.
That's
they're
awesome.
Both hoots.
I'm happy for
like
them.
Us here at group chat.
Yes, exactly.
So we are going to continue this conversation. And coming up, we're going to add somebody to the chat. Jay Moran is coming up. You know his voice. You know him from Morning Edition on BTPM NPR, but you also know his voice from the Sabres game. So I can't wait to pick his brain about that. Addison, thanks for joining us. I know you have to get over to another broadcast.
I do.
Because you're very busy right now. So thank you for taking the time. And
thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And Conehead, we're making you stick around. Okay. That's next on Group Chat.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley.
Nayla.
We're here. We're still here. Conehead's still here. We've added somebody to the chat.
The goat, like Charles's mask.
Our CEO just came in and said we can't chug beer, so boo,
Tom.
Wow. He didn't really do that. I have other stuff to do today, or else we would be drinking out of the saber. Because we feel like with Conehead here, we have to at least, like,
I would think so.
Do it properly, absolutely. Right, Jay?
Yeah.
So what a drip. I am honored to be joined by Jane Moran, who you know from Morning Edition on BTBM NPR, but also, how long have you been the Buffalo Sabres announcer?
This is my 21st season.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. You and Conehead are going, look, I mean, he tops you. But,
oh, yeah.
But y'all
well,
are,
he was just telling me.
You
he,
are loyal fans.
Well, Conehead was just telling me that he actually did Bills games back at the Rock Pile, and that ended in 1972.
Oh,
so I mean, that's unbelievable.
Jay, have you bought beers from Conehead
absolutely.
Before?
Absolutely. Yes. Especially when I was in college at the War Memorial Stadium for the Bisons games. Sorry to say, I bet you've spent that quarter that you got as a tip that night.
My wife spends most of it.
But, you know, it's, to me, it's pretty magical because I don't know, this is like, I think it's kind of common, so I don't want to, like, throw myself under the bus, but I've been going to Sabres games. I know Jay. I listen to Jay in the morning. I work with him. And I'm like, God, that guy sounds like Jay Moran. And everybody's like, it is Jay Moran. I'm like, oh,
okay. He just has a special voice. Like, when I met Jay in person, I was like, oh, my God, you do sound like that.
Yeah. And when you introduce the players, it's like another person. You
sure,
get very
yeah.
into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what has been your journey in through, you know, being an announcer? And you have to have that energy no matter the game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it's a hockey game. I bet you have that energy too, right? No matter
absolutely.
What.
You got to bring it. Major league sporting event.
Yeah. Exactly.
You both
yeah.
do.
It's a privilege to be there. And I'm psyched no matter what. We've had some tough years, but I've always had fun, and I work with great people, and it's a blast. And the bottom line is, no matter how bad the team was doing, every time they score a goal, people are into it, and they cheer.
Yes,
and when we announce their, it doesn't matter whether it's 7-0 or it's a playoff game, our fans are always into it. They love it. They love it. They want to cheer, and I want to cheer with them.
And what I love about it, too, is, I mean, you're up late. You know, we're all complaining during the week, like, oh, my God, I was at the game until 11. I'm like, Jay is at the game till the end and then turns around and comes here in the morning.
Yeah.
What time do you get in the morning?
4:30.
4:30 to do Morning Edition. So that's a passion right there.
What, Morning Edition? Oh, yes.
Passion. Tommy says yes.
So Naila and I were talking about being newer Sabres fans. Yeah. What is your experience with the fandom? And what do you, when you're seeing the fans and you've seen the ebbs and flows?
You know, it's always fun. But you're right. I mean, it's more fun now. I mean, you know, a lot of people were disappointed during the drought years.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are boos. And, you know, you don't like hearing that. But now it's cool. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And this is a story that just happened, I think, about 2 weeks ago. I was walking out. I was getting ready to walk back here. This is where I park.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there putting my coat on and in the lobby, and two kids came up to me, and they said, hey, this is going to be a random question, but are you the public address announcer here? And they're like, I don't know how you knew that, but yeah, I am. And they took pictures of me and all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just the celebrity of it.
Yeah.
I have a question. So, you know, there was a little spark on social media because people don't realize here that we also, we do the different, we do our American pledge
we
and we do the Canadian national
anthem
as well. People are like, why are you doing the Canadian national anthem? And I'm like, maybe they don't realize the proximity that we have to each other. Like, quite literally, the bridge is not even 5 minutes from us right now.
Yeah.
Like, we can go right there.
Yeah.
Can you all talk a little bit about that, like, dude, like Canadian fans versus American fans and that camaraderie that
we
have?
Well, there's no question. 20% of the people I ID are Canadian.
Yeah.
They get the Canadian licenses.
Oh, that's an interesting
and a
research.
A lot of them are season ticket holders.
Yeah.
And the other one, when we play an original six team, an original six, the Canadian fans are really into the original six. And you'll see, you know, the Detroit jerseys. Hopefully you're not – you're seeing very few Bruin jerseys, yeah. which is good.
But during a regular season game,
during a regular season game, you're going to see a whole lot more. Obviously, the Toronto and the Montreal.
Right, but we're so close to Ontario. Like, we have such a big demographic of Canadians that are so close to us. When it came out on social media, like, why are we singing the Canadian national anthem? There's no Canadian team. And I was like, when have we not done that?
Well, and I did notice during the anthem, there were a lot of people cheering. So there are, even though there's not a Canadian team, Canadians can be hockey fans and be at the game.
Oh, they're great hockey fans.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, though, because like when you mentioned the Bruins jerseys and no Bruins there now, but no, I noticed that too with the national anthem, and it's kind of inspiring, especially during this time. I'm like, oh, they're still coming to games.
Hey, we're the city of good neighbors. Yeah, they're our neighbors. Why not play their anthem?
Yeah. So, you know, talking about all the games that you've been to, Conehead, is there a nostalgia period that do you get a little teary-eyed now when they're bringing back all the nostalgia elements?
It's really kind of funny because it was my rookie year. I always refer to it because I've been with the team for so long. You have a rookie year, 72-73. It was the first year they made the playoffs, their third year in the league. And at the end, they played Montreal in the first round. It's the famous Rene Robert goal in overtime in game five. Came back home. They lost game six. But at the end of the game, the thank you Sabre chant. People didn't leave that building for about 15 minutes after the game. Thank you Sabres. Thank you Sabres. It was absolutely spine tingling. And that is, you know, people have asked me, what's your best moment in Buffalo sports so far? Because we haven't won the championship yet. So that there can be a better moment. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's soon.
Amen.
Jay, what are some moments that stick out to you?
You know, there's a lot of them. Yeah. You know, some are a little sadder than others.
Yeah.
I'll share it. I mean, when the Sabres played on the night of the plane crash out in Clarence.
Oh. Yeah.
And there was a big debate, I guess, about whether or not they should play it.
San Jose game.
Yeah, and the management decided that this is a place for healing. And I just remember, you know, introducing and saying we'd have a moment of silence. And, I haven't thought of that memory in a long time.
Yeah.
But that just kind of flashed me when he was talking about the Thank You Sabres. I remember watching that on TV. But being there for that that night and just seeing the community come together, it was, sorry for being a downer.
No, I think that's important because I, you know, like even when we were talking about the national anthem, I felt good hearing people cheer during the Canadian national anthem. You know, and it did make me like choke up a little bit because that is, you know, we always say like music and sports are where we can come together, you know. So, Jay, is there anything that you would want to ask Conehead?
Oh, biggest tip you ever got?
$100.
Sweet.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
$100. Yep.
You ever see the person again?
No. Maybe, you know, it's I honestly can't say yes, I can't say no. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's double that. So we just announced it was 100. So let's
see somebody top that. Game five, we'll see you there.
And what I had to do, you know, because I'm, you know, he puts it on the credit card, and I look at it and I go, dude.
Are you sure?
Are you intoxicated?
Did you mean to do this?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah. And then, you know, because I have to go to my boss and say, he really meant to do this. It's not a mistake.
Oh,
it's not a mistake.
Yeah. Has any beer flown in at you from the Beer Sabres? Because I know there's been a thing where people are cheering.
No, I haven't had that.
Flinging the beer? Okay.
I haven't seen
Just
that.
Making sure you're okay.
Yeah. But it's technique, right? You see a lot of people trying to... They try to chug it like a regular cup.
And you can't.
Mark Messier did it on ESPN the other night. He did it the right way. You got to bring it right up over the top.
He's a hockey player. He knows how to do it.
I was also corrected on the way I was eating the other day because apparently you might have some stains on that jersey.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you're doing the chicken fingers or the sauces, I'm like, you have to lean into it so you don't get it on your jersey.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, you know, you learn new things every day. I know Conehead, you were talking about seeing younger fans and like that tradition moving forward. What is the key to keeping this Buffalo sports tradition alive, especially with the Sabres when we're having a happy moment now?
Winning. Winning solves everything.
That's it, yeah. Coming.
Yeah.
Ask Lindy Ruff. He'll give you the same answer. And that's the guy
I'm
so happy for.
I am too. He's like a good guy.
He's Buffalo through and through. When they rehired him, I was so happy because he knows how to coach.
Yeah.
He knows how to coach.
You also saw him. Like, what is your experience in watching Lindy Ruff?
Well, I remember his rookie year, 1979. He was second round pick. Mike Ramsey was the first round pick, but Ramsey was in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Lindy Ruff made that team out of training camp. And that 79-80 team was a damn good team. They were really good. They lost to the Islanders in the second round on a Bob Nystrom double overtime goal that broke my heart. And, you know, you remember back to those Sabre teams. You had Montreal, which was a dynasty. Then you had the Islanders that were a dynasty, and the Sabres always ran into hot goaltenders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hate Billy Smith to this day. I hate the late Bernie Parent, but, you know, those were great days. But I remember Lindy taking on Billy Smith, fighting him when he hit him in the eye.
Yeah.
Always loved That's Lindy. Weird. I remember Lindy in Rochester. You know, after the Sabres had traded him away, he went to Rochester as an assistant coach, went to Florida, came here, replaced the incredibly popular Ted Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember those days. They were picketing the arena because they fired Ted Nolan, but Lindy came in and picked up the pieces, got him to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I was heartbroken when they fired Lindy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's come home every season, so, man, I'm so happy for that guy.
Where do you store all this? I'm understanding now the cone head. So the brain expansion. Where do you? How do you store all this information? Like
he doesn't drink what he sells. Like the rest of us.
I'm a sports fan.
Yeah.
You know I love what I do, but I love the teams also.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, like I tell people all the time. I tell my wife this all the time. I can remember things from 1968, but I don't know where I parked.
It doesn't matter. You'll find it.
I don't know. I think we've got a dream team over here.
I think so,
that
too.
Has not been tapped into in Buffalo, and you're getting it on group chat, because I could sit here and talk to you guys for
maybe she can bring us back for the finals.
Yes.
All right,
we'll be a little more tired probably, but yeah.
But that's real life. That's being a fan.
It is true.
Well, again, you heard it here. We're gonna bring these guys back, and I can't with you, Charles.
Charles is back with his go ahead because we're gonna win, right?
Yes.
Charles,
the goat, yes, paying tribute to the goat era,
guys. Yes, we lost. We lost, but that's okay, because we are going to win.
Woo!
Yes.
I got Sabres in five, okay?
I like it.
Sabres in five.
The goat has spoken.
Sabres win however it happens.
Make sure, if you agree, you like, comment, and subscribe here. Four group chat. Sabres in five.
Sabres in five.
Thank you so much for joining us. Continue to follow us here on the BTPM YouTube channel. Also, you get this on the weekends. You get this on Friday at 11 on BTPM NPR. And as you heard it from them, from Conehead and Jay Moran, you will be seeing them again. So, Naila and I appreciate you. Thanks
Go
for joining
Sabres.
Us. Go Sabres.
Go Sabres.